Welcome back to another Sunday session. I'm sitting in my studio with these amazing people that I work with, who I also consider my close friends. And I was, you know, just sitting here and I was like, I should record a Sunday. What should it be about? And they both just look at me with the most sinister look on their face and they go, oh, we know what it's going to be about. I don't know what's happening. Okay, well, first I'm going to talk about tour because it's like my pride and joy and my little baby. So if you guys didn't know, we're going on fucking tour, Daddy Gang. I can't believe I can finally say that. This has been a long time coming in my life. I've known this, but you guys have now only known this for a few days. I'm so excited. We're starting in Boston, which feels very sentimental to me. And that's where I went to college. That's basically where Call Her Daddy in my personal life began, because that's where I really started finessing. And then we're going to Toronto. Shout out to Toronto. I didn't realize how big the Canadian audience is of the Daddy Gang. You guys sold out those tickets so fucking fast. I was like, well, fuck, like maybe we should have done a couple nights in Canada. And then we're going to New York, Philly, Chicago, and ending in Nashville. I'm really excited about this tour. I think something that I have been thinking about is, like, aside from doing Call Her Daddy, I always want to, like, do things in a way that no one will expect, you know? So I don't want to give too much away about the tour, but what I will say is it's not going to be me just, like, podcasting, you know? I'm not just going to be like, welcome back to another live episode and then just talk. There's going to be a lot of things happening. By now, I announced that it is going to be bachelorette themed. So it's going to be my bachelorette party with you guys in all these different cities. And we're going to have a couple famous friends of the show showing up. Also, Lauren McMullen will be there throwing my bachelorette party, which, I mean, I'm expecting Lauren to come out at this point in like a dildo suit. Like, I'm like, what? She's going to go so crazy with it. So I'm just so excited and I can't wait. If you guys got your tickets, November is going to be fucking insane. My therapist literally was like, do you want me to come to the New York show? I'm like, yes. That way I can at least have like one night that I feel like mentally stable, because I'm going to be like, tell me where your seat is so I can just look at my therapist the whole time I'm performing. No, but I'm excited. I just am nervous because she was like, well, what's your biggest fear? Like, what, like, is it stage fright? Is it like, what is it? And I literally just said, I just want them to have the best time. I don't know. And she's like, okay, so what if you fuck up? Like, just say, fuck, Daddy Gang, I fucked up. Like, just like, redo, like, they're your friends at this point. And I'm like, okay, isn't it that funny when your therapist says something back to you, you're like, okay, please keep your comments to yourself, because now I feel like a fucking idiot. Anyways, yeah, I'm excited and it's gonna be great. Okay, now what the fuck is happening? You little shits. What is that? What is that? She almost just fall in her face. Oh my god! What?
Happy birthday, Call Her Daddy.
Wait, what is this? Wait, is it the 5-year anniversary today? October 3rd? Isn't that so weird that that's also like the Mean Girls thing? Wait, October 3rd. Oh my god, that's when the first episode was released, huh?
5 years of Call Her Daddy. It's like I have a 5-year-old. Oh my god. A very wise 5-year-old.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
What is this?
Okay, you guys, I was just handed cards for an episode. I don't even know what this says on it. It says, "Hey, Big Al." Hello, whoever wrote this.
She's not lying. She had no idea that this was happening.
I didn't. "Hey, Big Al. Congrats on 5 years of Call Her Daddy. Everyone here at Team Call Her Daddy couldn't be more proud of you, and it is so amazing to watch you continue to grow on a daily basis. But as always, this isn't about you." Oh, I'm like about to start crying, and then I'm like, wait, what do you mean? "It's about the Daddy Gang, the people who really matter." True. "So we have compiled a list of questions for you to reflect on and share with the Daddy Gang in honor of the 5-year anniversary of Call Her Daddy." Guys, I'm gonna get emotional. Number one, take us back to the moment where you officially decided you wanted to start Call Her Daddy. Oh my God. Whoa, that feels like a lifetime ago. "The moment I officially decided I wanted to start Call Her Daddy." Okay, so I was broke and I had no job, so I needed a job. I was living in New York in the Lower East Side, and I remember at that time I was like vlogging. And I it pains me when I see those vlogs, but it pains me in a good way. I'm like, oh, like I was trying so hard to just like get my career up and going. And I remember I knew this person who worked in like media that I kind of met like randomly in New York. And they were like, "You should start a podcast." And I was just like, I don't like, it's just not for me. Like, that's literally what my dad listens to. Like, who the fuck listens to podcasts like in my generation? Like, no one cares about podcasts. It was like the Logan Paul days, like all those vloggers were just so huge. Like Alyssa Violet, like it was just like, I would just sit in my little room and watch them and be like, I want to be a YouTuber. But I felt like it was just too oversaturated and everyone who was going to be a vlogger made it and was a vlogger. So I was like, you know what? Maybe a podcast is the move. But the sad thing was also like, it would also be like cheaper to make at the time because like I didn't have a budget. I remember going to my roommate at the time and I was like, I know you have a full-time job, but like, would you want to start a podcast with me? And it was in the Lower East Side in our apartment that I remember just being like, should we do this? Like, should we start Call Her Daddy? And that is when it happened. And then once we decided yes, we just like went and recorded episode one and never looked back. Number two, can you recall your first ever interaction with Daddy Gang? Oh, I think it was like in a Duane Reade. I was on my period and I was like craving Cookie Crisp cereal. Do you guys like know that? It shouldn't be called a cereal. It's like literally like all sugar. Anyways, I was going to get my healthy cereal from this little deli super close to my apartment at the time. And I remember a girl in there like buying chips. And we just made this really, at the time, I thought awkward, but like beautiful eye contact where she was just like, and I was like, oh, like, hey, like I had never had this in my life. And we just made eye contact. And what I didn't know is that would be the beginning of like thousands and thousands of moments where I just made eye contact with someone and it's like, Daddy Gang, right? It began the unspoken thing that everyone in my life to this day is still always so fascinated by. Like, whenever I meet any of you, I always get from whoever I'm with, like, oh my God, like, how do you know them? And I'm like, no, they're Daddy Gang. Like, because it feels like probably like, oh my God, that must be like an old time friend from like high school. Like, where do you guys know each other from? But it's just that like weird, beautiful connection of like, we don't even need to say anything. So yeah, it was in a deli getting my Cookie Crisp and I met a girl and she just, I fucked me and I fucked her back. And oh wait, no, I fucked her back. I fucked her back. But I will say I wouldn't have this career if it wasn't for all of you. So as much as you guys, when I meet you, I appreciate it so much when you guys are like, thank you for doing it. I'm like, thank you for listening, because this is not just me, it's you guys that make the show go round. So thank you. What's a difficult business lesson you learned early on in your career? I mean, I need to think of something other than like fight for your IP. Ooh, there's so many things I feel like I learned. And I feel like I learned it in the span of like a couple months, which was weird. I think the first is like, nobody actually has your best interest except for yourself when people are giving you advice, unless it's actually your family, which I will say to my family, but like actual people in business with you, like everyone's looking out for themselves as they should. Like, of course, we're all trying to like do our thing. But I think I realized early on, like everyone has different opinions of what they're going to want to do or what you should do. So I think it's like in the quiet moments, I really had to like find within myself, like, what do I want out of all of this? Tell us about a time when a guy confronted you for being mentioned on the podcast. Oh my God. No, you guys, this is my favorite story ever. When I was living in New York, I was doing everything for the plot. Like, everything was for the plot. Like, everything at this point was like, I think it's in by like episode like 40 or something. It's like, oh my God, at this point, I'm just going to like on dates to get content. And I like, cause I just wanna tell you guys, like, what are men like? I had broken up with Slim Shady so long, like almost like a year and a half prior, and we match on Raya. Imagine me matching with your ex on a dating app. The way my relationship with this ex ended was so tumultuous. Like, his agent literally tweeted that he was single to like end it. So like we couldn't go back and forth, but his agent tweets like, I'm single, I'm married to baseball, and we become single. A year and a half later, we match on a dating app, and there was so much animosity, like our families hated each other, whatever. And I don't know what it was, but it was so hot that we matched on this dating app. And it was like, I remember he messaged me and was like, hey. And I was like, hey. And we proceeded to have a conversation acting like we didn't know each other. I'm like, so what do you do for a living? And he's like, I'm like, I work in like neuroscience or something. He's a fucking baseball player. Oh my God, no way. Like, I'm a painter. Like, we were like role playing fucking with each other. And then we're like, maybe we should go on a date. Like, acting like we didn't know each other. We start fucking again. We both know, like, this is tumultuous. Our families hate each other. We'll never be together. But, like, let's just do it and, like, say fuck it. So we start fucking again. And now I have the podcast, because I didn't have the podcast when I was first dating Slim Shady. And I was not going to cut off my roster. Like, I was stacked thick at the time. Do you guys remember the Canadian? He was this hot hockey player that I was hooking up with whenever he would come into town. And I liked him. And he's a Leo. I'm a Leo. I had never dated a Leo, which was very interesting. So this hockey player is so fucking hot. Great dick. Great sex. And I remember I am on the podcast talking about how I am torn because I'm going to get on a plane on Friday to go see Slim Shady because he was in California. But I wanted to see the Canadian on Thursday because he was coming in for a game to play the Rangers. And I just talk about it on Call Her Daddy. I'm like, and honestly, like, oh, the hockey player dick is bigger and it's better. And like, but like, I also like, there's this weird thing with Slim Shady where I like still kind of want to fuck him because it's like that hot, like toxic ex thing. We release our episode on Wednesday and I'm getting my hair done. Okay. I'm getting my hair done. I have my head in the washer thing and I get a call from him. Slim Shady. And I'm like, what is this? I still have the voicemail to this day. You guys have to listen to it after this. It's fucking crazy. He sounds like he's been crying and he's mortified and he's furious and he's gonna kill me and my entire family. And he's like, you better call me back right now. I just listened to your episode. Really? The Canadian dick before you come see me? Don't bother getting on that plane if you don't call me back. Like, I'm done with this and I'm done with you. So I proceed to have a mental breakdown for like the next 2 hours in the hair salon talking to my like hairstylist at the time, Angelo. I'm like, Angelo, what do I do? And he's like, babe, calm down. Like, that dick is always going to be there. Just like tell him to like chill. I'm like, it's not chill. Like, this is on a national podcast where people are like literally at this point know who he is. Like, this is embarrassing for him. And it was just at the point where like I had no sense of like, I didn't care about these guys. So it was like, if you ditch me, like you ditch me. You guys, it was a long process because I was getting extension. So I'm there for like 5 fucking hours. So the next 3 hours, I start doing damage control and I'm texting him like, baby, like, it's not like that. Like that, I just made that up for the plot for the podcast. Meanwhile, I was like, so fucking real. And meanwhile, on the side, texting Canadian, like, what hotel are you staying at? Like, let me know when I should come over. But I'm like, Slim Shady, like, it's just not like that, babe. Like, we are like, we're back. Like, it's gonna be amazing. Like, I want to get on that plane. Whatever. Blah blah blah. And I proceed to work my way around for 3 hours via text. And he finally is like, fine. But if you get on that plane, like, I better have your full attention when you're here. And I went and I got on the plane and I saw the Canadian the night before. And then the next week I talked about how I did it all and blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, I fucking hate you. But he still invited me back over and over. And we ended up having like sex for a couple months until his mommy found out. And she said, no, no, no. And then I was like, okay, well, the fact that you're 30 years old and your mom dictates your dating life, like, why don't you go fuck her? So that was the end. The podcast, I will say, with dating was a motherfucker. And in the beginning, it was fun. And then I did go through a period, I'll be honest, where like dating and having a podcast and talking as explicitly as I was, it was definitely difficult. Like it, but in a way, and I don't know if this is healthy, but like, I think it helped the age that I was at where like the podcast always came first. Of course, a couple times I was like, fuck, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like, I remember I would get texts from my mom on Wednesday morning being like, ooh, send me the screenshots today of what they say to you, because damn, you went in on him. And I'm like, fuck. Like, and I would always schedule my therapy sessions for Wednesday because I was like, repent and then just do it again. It was a wild time. And I will say, when I met Matt, I've said this to you guys before, is how I knew he was the one. It's like, I was willing to like find a better balance instead of just like ruining men's lives on the podcast. But it was fun. When you think back, what is your I made it moment? Oh God. For me, I made it was more when I was like, oh, I know how to like do this podcast and produce it confidently. Like that was my I made it internally, of like not stressing out every single week being like, how do I do this, how do I entertain people, like what do I do. I think the made it moment of like publicly, I guess, is when, well, one, I do remember the early barstool days was fun, when showing up to the office and like finally having some fucking respect on my name. Like first when we showed up, it was like, who are these fucking whores? Like they're just gonna like ruin this company. Like we don't need this like drama in this company. And I remember Dave just being like, did I make a bad decision? Like who are these girls? And like what the fuck are they doing? And it was so fun to like go into a company that was like at the time so male dominated and just like sling it better than the rest of them, of like going on live radio and walking in. I will never forget OG Daddy Gang. This is how crazy it was. At the time, barstool of all these men, it was like, how do we reverse a role? So insane. I remember going on live radio, Dave's on live radio. We walk into the live radio session and we're like, oh, just so you all know, we can tell every single person's dick size in this office without you even taking your pants off. We're on SiriusXM live radio and we're like, yeah, Roan, he has a pencil dick. Caleb has a short chode but like knows how to use it. Like we're just rattling shit off. And it was, that was a moment where I think it just started to like, we were just leaning into the brand and it was so fun. And then I think at one point I could tell people in the office did start to respect like the numbers and the growth, and like at one point like the show was making like so much for barstool. It was just a cool moment to feel the culture shift in the company, of people stop looking at us like, what are these bitches talking about, of like, oh, like what can we learn from Call Her Daddy. That was cool to like have a company that I respected respect me back. And then I guess the other one is like my Spotify deal. I think that was like a very surreal moment for me, because when I started Call Her Daddy on my own, I was nervous. Like I can sit here and be like confident Alex Cooper being like, oh, like I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. And like, I had a lot of really scary moments in my house during COVID with my parents, just being like, do I need a co-host? Like, I will never forget the first episode I had to do on my own. I just went down in my parents' basement and I recorded for like a couple hours. And then I was like, here we go. Like, they're either going to love it or they're going to hate it. And I appreciate you guys so much, because it has been like a lot of different creative decisions that I've made, and you guys have always stuck by me. But just so you guys know, like every time I'm making something, I just sit in my room and I'm like, what does the Daddy Gang want? And half the time I'm like, what do I want? Because I feel like I'm a part of the Daddy Gang. Like I'm also like a young girl just trying to figure my life out. And so I think the Spotify deal was cool almost for women in media. Like, it was a big moment for me to realize, like, oh, this deal is going to inspire so many other women to be like, yeah, you don't need to have a dick to get a big deal or to get respect on your name. Like, and I was just so happy that Call Her Daddy was like that brand that signified that. And it's cool to have met other people, not even just creators, like people in business, and seeing women come up to me just being like, that just gave me so much confidence to know, like, I can do that too. What's a BTS moment from an episode where something almost went terribly wrong that the daddy gang doesn't know about? Oh my God. I would say the episode that I didn't release, it was this male actor and he begged to come on Call Her Daddy. Well, his team did. And they're like, please, like, we need this for him. Like, he needs to come on. And I'm like, dope. Like, okay, like, love that for us. Like, I didn't expect him to want to come on Call Her Daddy. And I remember her showing up to the studio and I just got like immediate weird vibes from him, like very stuck up, like very just like couldn't even make eye contact with me at first, just like too cool for school. And I was like, okay. And like I asked his team multiple times prior, like, hey, because I was like, at this point, I'm like, I don't believe this guy actually wants to come on. I'm like, just to confirm, this guy's down to talk about like sex and relationships and stuff, like, we good? And they're like, yes. And so he sits down and he literally sits like this and he's just like, what's up? And I'm like, hello, welcome to Call Her Daddy. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, how are you doing today? He's like, this is like my 7th podcast of the day. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, let's have fun. And he was just not about it. And I was so uncomfortable and I just felt so awkward. And I can usually talk to a wall, but this wall was giving nothing. It was paint dry to the worst extent, and also just kind of being like a dick to me. I'm like, bro, I don't want to be here either if you're gonna act like this. And I always just think, like, is the daddy gang seemed like, why did you release this? So I ended up trying to make it as fun as possible, and when he left, his team was like, that was amazing. And I'm like, what the fuck? And so I sent an email just being like, I'm not releasing that. And I got so much pressure and backlash and threats of like, well, this is who else we rep. They'll never come on your show if you don't air it. And I was like, I don't care. Like, that's just not fair to do to me, to like, one, put something out that the daddy gang is going to be like, was there a gun to your head? Like, where's the gun? Like, hostage situation, like from 1 to 10, like, where are we at, girl? Like, you guys would have known something was off. And so I was just like, I'm not releasing it. And they were so rude and insane and insistent, trying to use their power over me. And I was just like, and I remember I got calls from so many different teams being like, you should just release it. And I was like, no, because I'm also not going to give him fucking hype for being an asshole to me and to the daddy gang. So it's weird sometimes to see some celebrities come in. My favorite is when you're like, they're so famous that I'm like, I totally understand if they're like a little standoffish, and they come in my house and they're like, hi, it's so nice to meet you. Like, so respectful to everyone, like anyone that's like editing or camera or anyone in my office, they're so lovely too. And I'm just like, wait, you don't even need to be that nice. Episode that comes to mind if someone needs a good laugh, oh my gosh, any Harry Jowsey episode. Like, I remember I saw Alex Earl the other month and we were talking and she was like, I was just listening to the Harry Jowsey episode, like, I've met him before and he's funny, but like, I didn't realize how funny he is. And the two of you together is like crack. Like, what the fuck? Harry and I have this thing, which is so funny. We don't hang out. We do not hang out. We do not text. We do not see each other. And we have this like almost unsaid thing where it's like, save it for the podcast. And we do this yearly thing now that we've almost created as a tradition. And like, there's something about his energy. We even say it. We're like, I've seen him on podcasts and he's seen me podcast with people. And we're never like that with other people. There's just something that happens. So I would say any Harry Jowsey episode is chef's kiss, fabulous. First episode that comes to mind if someone needs the strength to leave something toxic. Ooh, daddy gang! I just recorded something that is gonna probably come out in 1 to 2 weeks, and it's like a full toxic what is the word? It's like a masterclass on like, it's boot camp. It is a boot camp on how to get out of the toxic and how to recognize the toxic and when to know to leave the toxic. And also though, when to know, like, the toxic's fun, but only at a certain point in your life. So we'll look for that. It's going to be labeled something toxic and it's going to be a solo. And I think it's going to be pretty empowering. First episode that comes to mind, if someone wants to feel a little horny. Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, I remember back in the day, there are some episodes where I quite literally was doing like porn erotica of just like, and then you take his dick out and you take his throbbing, hard pulsing. And it's just like, what the fuck? And like thinking of like my parents listening to that, I'm like, I will never recover. Damn. That was audio porn. What are you most proud of with Call Her Daddy? I would say the daddy gang. Like, not in my wildest dreams when I started this did I ever think I would have essentially this like extended family. Like, it's as corny as it sounds, like, I am so fucking grateful to every single person that listens and watches, and I definitely care so much to the point where you guys are a topic of conversation in therapy every week. Like, it's a really intimate relationship that we have, and I don't think a lot of shows have that. And I can't explain the amount of times I've met you guys on the street and you've told me about, like, this episode helped me get out of this abusive relationship, or this episode made me know that it was time to like leave this job that I wasn't happy with, or this episode made me finally have my first orgasm and actually be able to like lean in and embrace my sexuality. Like, there's just so many different phases, I feel like, of life that we've gone through together in these past 5 years that I wouldn't take back for anything. I wouldn't take back the original Call Her Daddy days when I had a co-host and we had those amazing episodes together. I wouldn't take any of that back. Like, I think as I continue to grow, I look back on those days honestly and I'm like, that was so fun. And that, like, that's why I am here today. Like, I can't discredit any era of Call Her Daddy. Like, it makes me emotional when I think about it. And I think, obviously, when I'm in things, I'm sure I've said shit where I'm like, why did I say that? Or like, it's just growing up and looking at every year, I feel like the show has grown and I feel like I've stayed as authentic as I possibly can with it. And I think it's difficult, I'm not gonna lie, like, being in media and trying to keep your sanity and trying to stay like honest and talk about things that you know will be relatable in your life, but then also like thinking of a brand and the growth, like, there's just so many things that go on. But I think you guys have been the people that have kept me like in meetings when people are asking me to do certain things for brand deals or this and this. Like, there's a reason I'm not on my Instagram like holding up products and doing these things. It's because it's like, all I care about is this show, full stop. And I think probably my agent hates me and my publicists hate me in moments because they're like, please just do this one thing, do this. And it's like, no, if it's not going to benefit Call Her Daddy and the Daddy Gang, then I'm not going to fucking do it. And so that's why I'm going on tour. Like, I can't wait to be in a room with all of you and like get to laugh with you guys, as cheesy as it sounds, and get to like touch you, not inappropriately, but just like touch you and hug you. And like, it's something that means a lot to me, is to like, as long as we're good, I'm good. And that, I think, speaks a lot to this show and this community that we've built. And I feel like that's also why it's exciting, like, in growing, working with other creators for the like Unwell Network, like, these people that I'm working with, Alex Earl, Madeline Argy, those are two people that care so fucking much about what they're doing and their audience and their connection. And it's not common. Like, trust me, I've met a lot of people in this industry that it's like, I'm just trying to get the bag and like get the fuck out and like mail it in. And I think it's really exciting to now surround myself with even more people and creators that love what they do as much as I do and genuinely care about what they're putting out into the world. Okay, last question. Oh, guys, this is like emotional. What is a goal you have set for Call Her Daddy for season 4? Oh my God. Where do I begin? My whole team, we're all sitting here like, we haven't slept in how many days? Aaron's like, I always turn to this person, Aaron, on my team, who I love, and you probably always hear his giggle in the back of Asron. He's the man with the camera, and you probably hear his giggle behind the scenes all the time. And I've always said to Aaron, I'm like, no, like, Aaron, like, it's gonna calm down soon. And he's like, you've literally said that since you hired me. Like, we've been saying this for months. I guess a year now, right? Girl, sheds a tear. No, it's a motherfucking grind, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I am out of my fucking mind half the time. Like, I don't even know my right and my left and my up from my down. And putting out this amount of content, like the amount of time and energy and effort that all of us on this team put into these episodes, it's like, it's a lot. But it's the best job in the world, honestly. I'm so fucking grateful. It's not lost on me that this is the biggest blessing and the coolest fucking... Like, I'm gonna look back on this one day and be like, bitch, you better have soaked it all fucking in. Because this shit is... There is nothing like what we are all doing here today. And just talking to you guys. Like, I love you all. And I couldn't imagine doing it without... And I know we have new people here. Some oldies. Jordania downstairs, wherever she is. I love you all, and I love you, Daddy Gang. So season 4, even when I'm like, it's only gonna get bigger and it's gonna get better, it's just more thoughtful. It's just every week just being consistent. I think there's one thing that you can always say about Call Her Daddy is like, yeah, sometimes we're taking risks, but it's also just like, there's no moment where you can say like, wow, that shit was like thrown together, or like that felt really... That didn't feel like there was a lot of effort that went into that. Like, we're constantly just trying to make sure that you guys are entertained each week. And so thank you for watching season 4. I can't list you the things that I want to do for season 4 because we will be here for 5 hours. It's like on my vision board at home. Matt's like, okay, let's eat dinner. I'm like, but one more thing for season 4. What if we did this? And he's like, Alex, shut the fuck up. It's all I do. I eat, sleep, breathe, Call Her Daddy. And to know that it's been 5 years... As much as it feels like just yesterday, it also feels like a long time of a lot of work. Daddy Gang, if you're going to come see me on tour, I can't wait to party with you guys. Like, the fact that I'm literally throwing a bachelorette party live on stage, it's like, of course. Like, what would I be without you guys? And I just want to be very clear because, you know, you guys are very passionate. And you really let me know in those DMs, like, what you're thinking. And it makes me cry sometimes. I'm like, okay, go easier. I see you. I see you want me to come to LA, to Miami, to Austin, to Arizona, to Edmonton. Like, there's all these different places. The UK. Everyone's like, where's the fucking Europe tour? Hello? And I'm like, okay. I was just happy to see you guys bought tickets. I didn't know how this was going to go. So I'll see how it goes. Let's see if I can actually speak on stage. Like, watch, I have stage fright and I have to just like... I'm going to have to see how it goes. But what I will say is if it goes well, this is definitely not the last. I see you. There was only obviously so I wanted to do it small because I wanted to be thoughtful and I wanted to make sure that like it's done right. And so like, let me get my feet wet. And then if it goes well, LA, I see you and all the other places. Maybe we will be back out on the road. But also the people that can't make it, it's not like you're getting neglected. Like, you're going to be getting full Call Her Daddy episodes. Like, I'm not, this is the thing, maybe I won't be sleeping, you know, but you are going to be full and happy, okay? You're going to be getting Call Her Daddy episodes every week. Even when I'm on tour, you'll be getting some behind the scenes. Daddy Gang, I love you so much. 5 fucking years and so many more to go. I love you. Thank you for supporting me. And thank you guys for coming up with this idea and getting me this cake. This is so fucking cute. You're going to make me fucking cry now. Here we go. I love you guys. I will see you fuckers this Wednesday. Goodbye.